morning, and before we begin, let's take our Bibles. Turn with me to John chapter 5. I'll look at verses 40 to 47. John chapter 5. Let's pray again. Our Father, we ask you this morning, would you help us? Lord, we ask, according to your infinite mercy and grace in Christ, Lord, bless us as we try to worship. Forgive us, Lord, where we have thought so lightly upon the wonder of our blessed Lord and Savior. Bless these words, I pray, the honor of our Lord and for the good of your people. Amen. John chapter 5. Our Lord, in dealing with the Jews that had confronted him after he had healed the impotent man by the pool of Bethesda, had set forth the unity that he possesses with the Father. That was in John chapter 5, that was in verses 17 to 23. The next thing we looked at was the evidence of his divine commission being sent by the Father. That was in verses 24 to 39. Now what he's going to do as we continue in taking the Scriptures as the Spirit of God has written them. And that, I think, is a wise thing to do. Take God's Word as God has written it, and consider what the Lord God Himself has to say. Today we're going to look in verses 40 to 47, and our precious Savior is going to set forth the true state of a man's heart as that man is born in Adam. And truly, man's need of him as a Savior. The Lord must do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. Here's the first thing that I know. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as he speaks to these Jews that oppose him. It says in verse 40, "And ye will not come to me that you might have life." This is what I know concerning a man's state before God as that man is born in Adam only. That man does not want to come to Christ. He doesn't want to come. He doesn't want to come initially in regenerating grace. He doesn't want to come. Now you think about this. Now I'm talking about the one that's speaking. He said, "Ye will not come to me." Man doesn't want to come initially. He doesn't want to come daily. He just doesn't want to come. You start to think about this. Why does man by nature not come to Christ. Why does he not come? Here's the answer. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want to come. The Lord had told him in verse 39, he said, "You search the Scriptures." But here's the problem. They didn't see him. They didn't see the glory of Almighty God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament bears record and evidence of him being the Messiah. I know a lot of the time I've heard folks say, well, the Old Testament now is not, we don't really study the Old Testament. The Lord set it forth. The Lord, when he walked on this earth, he said, it's written. He was always talking about the Old Testament. The Old Testament is God's record concerning the evidence of the Lord Jesus Christ being the Messiah. You see, the problem is not God's evidence of Christ. That's not the problem. The problem is man's arrogant will against coming to Christ. Man by nature has no desire to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as a lost sinner, helpless. He just doesn't want to. He has no will to be saved. Isn't that sad? He has no will to be saved. This is the reason that God himself must do something for a sinner that sinner will not do for himself. The Scripture says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." He is going to have to do something. He's going to have to give life. Before anybody will do anything, the Lord's going to have to give them life. He's going to have to create in them something that was not there before. Human beings are walking around physically alive, but they're spiritually dead. You look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you have been quickened, made you alive. You have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin." Do you know a man doesn't know he's dead until the Lord's already made him alive? Realize he's dead. Oh, I always thought I was alive always. No. Those that come by faith come because they want to, with a new heart, desire to love the Lord that they did not love before. They don't want to come. He said, "You will not come to me." Now, let's be real distinct here. I'm not talking about coming to the altar. I'm not talking about coming to the front. I'm not talking about coming to anything. I'm talking about coming to Christ. I'm talking about coming to the Savior. Ask a man, ask a woman, wherein lies your hope? Wherein lies your hope? If you say anything other than the Lord God Himself gave me a heart to believe Christ to be my only hope, if you say anything else except Him, and I'm talking about, don't preface it with anything else. You preface it with anything else, and that's the wrong answer. He said, "You will not come to me." To me. Here's the second thing I know concerning our Lord's word to these Jews. Verses 41-42, he said, "I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. Our Lord never sought, nor should we, the applause of men. I mean, the fear of man brings a snare. I mean, we're by nature afraid. We don't want anybody to be mad at us. We don't, and I don't want anybody to be unnecessarily mad at me. I don't. But here's the situation as it is. If the Lord has done something for me, I know this. I'm going to stand before God. I know that. I know that by regenerating grace. I know that I'm going to stand before God. You know, if men knew that, if they truly knew that, they if they truly knew it, the Lord has already done something for them. But if a man or woman truly knew, I'm going to stand before God, and the books are going to be opened, and Almighty God, according to His Word, is going to deal with men. According to either that which is written in the books or the book. One of the two. I don't want the Lord to deal with me out of that which is written in the books. Oh, that I might be found in Him, in Christ, in God's book, the book of life. I receive not honor from men. Same word here. Honor is the word glory. The opinion. Man's opinion carries no value when it is opposed to God's word. Man's opinion is worth nothing. Man's word compared to God's word. Let's say what the Scripture says. Let God be true and let every man be a liar. Oh, that He might truly show me that I am born in Adam. I'm a liar. I'm a liar against God. What is it going to matter in that day? What's it going to matter? Everything that men have had to say, if it's contrary to this word. This is what I pray for myself this morning. Lord, teach me what You have to say. And Lord, help me. Help me to believe it. Show me of Yourself. Teach me by Your Spirit. Acts 5:29. The Scripture says we are to obey God rather than men. If He's taught me of Himself, if He's taught me of His truth, I am a blessed man. This life is frail. It's fading. It's just a vapor. The reason that our Lord received not honor from men was because, according to His word, He said, there's no love of God in your hearts. If the Lord has given us a love for God Himself, you know what the evidence of that will be? We'll believe His word. We'll believe His word. We'll bow to that. True love. True love honors and praises and exalts and blesses the name of our blessed Savior. Lord, what I am by Your grace. The song says, in my hand no price I bring. What are You going to bring? What are You going to bring and offer unto the Lord? Let me tell you all the hope that a man or a woman has. This is it right here. Is that the Lord Jesus Christ would stand as my mediator and answer before God Almighty and His law and declare according to the shedding of His own blood where He put away my guilt. This is all of my hope. This is all of my plea. This is it right here. That He Himself bore my guilt in His own body and left nothing for me to do. Nothing. 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 And He shed and put away the guilt of this old sinner. And He gave me a new heart, a new life, created in me a new man, created in righteousness, not like the first one. Robed me in His righteousness. That's all of my hope. And to stand before Him and say, Lord, You're worthy to receive all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. Whom have I in heaven but You? Salvation. All of grace. You'll never find a believer on to plead their own goodness. Never. 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 They will declare He saved me by His mercy and grace and called me by His Spirit and told me about it. That's all. That's all the hope I have. God's love wrought in the heart of His people loves that which God the Father loves. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You hear Him. Hear Him. Men may profess to love God, but I tell you, if they love not the Son, if they love not the Son's Word, if they love not the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace, Gary, you'll never know what that sentence you said to me that time, that stuck with me. What's wrong with God getting all the glory? What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with God Himself receiving all the praise and the honor? What's wrong with that? I tell you, that's the most liberating thought in the world. What must I do? What's the evidence of salvation? Here it is. You believe Him. And God's got to give you faith to believe Him. Verse 43, I'm come in my Father's name, and you will, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. He came from the Father with the Father's evidence from heaven. His baptism and on the Mount of Transfiguration, the evidence of the miracles that He wrought and the evidence of the Holy Scriptures, and they didn't receive Him. You say, how can that be? How could they have done that? We've got the Holy Scriptures right here. Why does a man not believe it? Why does a man continue to trust himself? Why does he continue to trust his own works? Because the Lord's not done anything for him. I'm telling you, according to this scripture, right here, go back and read Philippians, read Paul's account of himself, when he trusted in himself. He said, you think you got something to trust in? You think you guys have done something? Y'all think y'all obeyed God? And he started listing off all those credentials that he had. I was born in the right family. I was circumcised on the right day. My mom and dad were Hebrews. I was not a half-breed. I was on and on and on and on and on and on. And he said those things that I counted gain to me, he said they were dung. They were dung. They were refuge. That's all they were. God's people have no confidence whatsoever in the flesh. A man may come, the Lord said. He said another, he said, will come in his own name. Him you'll receive. Turn to John 10, verse 1 to 5. John 10, 1 to 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, leadeth them out, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. A believer will not listen. A believer will not listen to a message that exalts man and man's free will, man's works, man's this, man's that. He will not hear it. He will not hear it. I will not hear it. By the grace of God, I don't want to hear somebody sit and stand up and blaspheme the God that I love. As God is my witness, standing and listening to somebody proclaim a God that is a little g nobody, that can't do anything without man's arm, the only arm they say that he has is yours. The only mouth he has is yours. That's bunk. Boy, what a little God that he's got to have this scoundrel. Carnal man has no will to come to Christ. He has no love for true God. Thirdly, he loves the praise of men. Verse 44, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Matthew 6, 24. I'll read this for you. Matthew 6, 24. No man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. Nope. You can't serve God and self. Not going to happen. You can't do it. It's impossible. Man, by nature, loves the praise of men. To win the applause and the good opinion of others. The honor and opinion of the Lord God is not sought after by man being born in Adam. Men will not, until the Lord does something for them, renounce all of the honor that's given by dying creatures. The gospel reveals that the Lord Himself humbles a man, humbles a woman, puts them in their true place as a beggar before God, who is the sovereign. The safest place you'll ever find yourself is in a place where you can't do anything. Safest place in the world is to be in a place, in a state of heart, if he doesn't save me, I'm going to perish. I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Only a new heart seeks, bows to that position of humility. David, King David, man after God's own heart. Psalm 84:10, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Lord, place an awl upon my ear and bore it through as a symbol of heart, of submission to you. What is more glorious than salvation? That's all of grace. Not of any works now. I'm talking about nothing. I'm talking about nothing. Nothing. All of grace. And then our Lord finished verses 45 to 47. And he told them this. He said, the carnal heart doesn't believe God's word. Do not think that I'll accuse you, the Father. There's one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? Now listen, when he said, do not think that I'm going to accuse you. He says, there's one that's going to accuse you. When we stand before him who is the judge. And you know, outside of Christ, this is who's going to accuse us. God's law. God's law. The law of God, the scripture reveals, is the schoolmaster. The schoolmaster that reveals to us, number one, our inability. This is God's standard. This is God's law. The law of God says, do and live. But no man does. The law is weak because of our flesh. The law cannot justify. The law does one thing. One thing. It reveals God's standard and our inability. That's what it does. God's law is holy and just and good. And the Lord said, there's one that's going to accuse you. The one you trusted in. The one that you said, I can do this. I can do something. Remember this, whatever you're trusting in, whatever you think you've done to please God, whatever you think that you've done to please God, it better be absolutely perfect. Because if you have ever deviated one time, and you have, trusting in something to save you, that you have done yourself, is going to be your accuser. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Had you believed Moses, and Moses set forth, you can't keep this law. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, if he wrote of me. Moses set forth in that blessed law what God demanded and how God Himself was going to satisfy Himself in a substitute. No other way. All of those sacrifices and all of those ceremonies set forth the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said there's no need. There's no reason of his accusing them that no one will come to him. No one has any love for God. No one loves anything other than the praise of men and the honor of men. There's no need for that. He said, you already have an accuser. The very scriptures that men read today say that God Himself does something in regenerating grace. The very scriptures that men read and try to prove that they can do something for God. The very scriptures that men read trying to prove that they, by their own free will, can do something to God. Those scriptures are going to accuse them. Let me show you that in closing. John 12. John 12:47. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Oh, the blessing of realizing and to be brought to a place where the Lord, in His infinite mercy and grace, would bring a man or bring a woman under the sound of the truth. I'll be the first to admit, I read these passages of Scripture, and I thought to myself, I don't know if I've ever read a passage of Scripture that's more pointed, more direct than this one right here. These are the words of the Savior. These are the words of the Master Himself. And to realize that I've been brought to confront God's Word from the mouth of God's prophet, and to hear God Himself in human flesh, He who was ever before the Father, who's come into this world, and absolutely has set forth God's revelation. I'm thinking, Lord, thank you. Thank you for grace that would bring this sinner to bow before you. I pray this day that the Lord might be pleased to bless these words to the conviction and salvation of His elect. All the hope that I have, all the hope that you have, is found in Him. Lord, do something for me that I can't do. I realize it. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God. And I don't have anything to offer you. Lord, what you've done for me, what is man that thou art mine? Lord, save me or I perish for Christ's sake. Amen.